Hi, thanks for joining us today. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide. And today my guests on Hometown to Hollywood are actress Chandler Kinney and her mom, Taryn Kinney. Chandler is best known for her roles on Lethal Weapon, Gordimer Gibbons' Life on Normal Street, Girl Meets World, Casey Undercover, and The Haunted Hathaways. And Taryn is her fabulous mom. Chandler and Taryn, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. We're so happy
thank
to be
you
here.
For having us.
Happy to have you here. Now, I just read that you have been accepted to UCLA.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm super excited. So happy to be done with this process. Honestly, the college process, on top of filming and working, is incredibly difficult. I can't lie about that. But I'm super excited, and I'm thinking about studying psychology.
Yeah. That's what your mom did, right?
Yes. Following after my mom. Exactly. But yeah, I was thinking, you know, acting is psychology, and so having a deeper understanding of, like, the social theory of the mind and emotion regulation and empathy are all very important things, especially when I use them every day as an actor, so I'm super excited, yeah.
I love that. Do you know you're going to study some psychology, and are you going to then thinking about parlaying that back into the industry, or are you just going to see how it goes, or?
I mean, we'll see how it goes. I'm very optimistic to balance both. Both filming and being a full-time student, so but I'm very optimistic, so we'll see.
Well, you know, I think psychology is a brilliant thing for an actor to
yes.
study, because it really, that's the business you're in, is the business of emotion and psychology.
Truly, yeah, and I'm hoping to have an emphasis in social and behavioral psychology, because that's what we deal with as actors, you know, having that understanding behind human interaction and why we say the things that we do and why we act the way that we do. So I'm excited and want to continue on with my education.
Well, I'm excited for you. You know, so many actors who start when they're underage, mm-hmm. many of them don't even properly finish high school. You know, they right. take the CHSP and they peace out. And that's the end of their education. In many cases, for good, you know,
right.
despite their best intentions. Or if they, you know, finish high school properly, that's the end. And then going to college later, like, they can do it, but it doesn't get easier, you know? And so to see you, like, saying, yeah, I'm going to do all of this is really inspiring.
Oh, thank you. Thank mm-hmm. you. Yeah, to your point, it does not get easier. And hopefully, if everything goes to plan, I'll be even more busy in the next coming years. So I want to, you know, get this in now. And also it further informs your art. So I don't know why anyone would not want to do that, not want to have those experiences. And especially as an actor, you're pulling from your real life experiences, and college is a crazy one. So I want to have those places to go, or those places to refer to when crafting art.
Yeah, I love that. My favorite performances are where you can just sort of see the emotion playing across the eyes
yeah.
and subtly across the face of the actor, and it's like you can look into their minds, and they know what they're doing because they have that very fine understanding of human emotion.
Right, and also, especially like I've been homeschooled, you know, and so I'm thinking to myself, what do I truly have to pull from if I'm just sitting on my couch, you know, all day, if I haven't seen the real world, if I haven't talked to people outside the industry that come from all different parts of the world with their own stories and backgrounds. And so, it'll be a thrilling experience.
So you're 17.
Yes.
Are you a legal 18, or what did you do with that? You were homeschooling, so you didn't really have to, or?
Yes, well, so I am legal 18.
Okay.
I took the CHSP when I was 16, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I definitely decided to continue on, especially talking closely with my school counselors. I realized having that 4-year transcript is really important, especially since at that time I had my eyes on an Ivy League school. So I was like, there's no way that I can just drop out of high school and go to Yale or Brown. Obviously I decided to stay local to continue working, but yes, I am legal 18, and it's been a good experience so far. I think, it has allowed me to audition for roles that have just been, you know, that are for 18 or up, And not even so much the content, but also, like, just work hours. And it really has given me the freedom. Even on my own show, on Lethal Weapon, I've been able to work more and have fuller storylines because I can be on set longer. And so it really has given me that freedom.
It's interesting. It really does translate into that. It translates into fuller storylines. It translates into more screen time because they don't have to be freaking out and watching the clock all the time, plus jamming in the required hours for school on top of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's difficult. And so I found that it was really nice to do that.
So you were a legal 18, but you were still, you were working adult hours, but you were still pursuing school.
Yes.
Okay, that tells me a lot about you.
yes. I am an overachiever and I'm also very optimistic. And if I set my mind to something, I have, you know, every intention to follow through. And so that meant working, you know, in my trailer in between takes and even getting home after sometimes, you know, 13, 14, even 15 hour days and, you know, getting my schoolwork done because both are very important to me. So it's just, I think it's just priorities. Yeah, for me.
I love that. You know, I have found that the more you like set goals for yourself and they're challenging and you hit them, it's like strengthening a muscle. Like you're kind of telling your whole being, I can do this. I can do this. This is what I do. And there's something about that that's really like it self-enforces.
Yes, it's definitely motivating. I think my mom and I both are very goal-oriented, and so to have your eyes set on something and every part of your being wanting that one thing and wanting to make everything work, and also the other side of me, I'm a people pleaser too, so I'm like, I have to make my mom proud and keep up with my job, and so I made it work. Yeah.
You can use that as a tool.
Yes.
Or you could have it work against you. So yeah. I was looking at your IMDb page the other day, and it looks like your first project was the movie Battlefield America in 2012. So how did you get that first role?
Oh, okay. It came through my agency like any other project. I remember the audition for that. I actually thought I did really bad, to be honest with you, to be very candid. I was very nervous because it was one of my first auditions, and so I thought I had this misconception that I just absolutely had to be off book. So I went in without the paper, even though I wasn't sure exactly what I was saying, and so, but I mean, I got the call back, and I definitely went in a little bit more prepared the second time, and I booked it, and that was my first real, I think, on-set experience, aside from another commercial that I had done, and it was crazy, and that really solidified me wanting to be an entertainer, and specifically an actor, it was a great experience.
That's so great. You know, it's interesting because until you have that opportunity to really be in a filming environment, you can't really know what it's like. You know you think you know what it's like, but you can't because it's just its own planet. And you may think you want it, but you may like experience it and go, actually, this is not what I thought and I don't love it. But you decided, oh, this is totally what I want.
Yes, it was crazy. It was nothing that I thought it was going to be. But that wasn't necessarily a bad thing, you know. It was really cool, and I remember thinking, oh well, I mean, I want to take on this next character. I would like give me more material. I want to be someone different now. I want to, you know, try new things, and so that definitely fueled my passion in that way.
Oh, that's so cool! And you were what, 11?
Oh, I was 10
for Battlefield, and 9 for the. For when she started in commercials first.
Yeah. Yes, wow. Yeah. So 10 when I filmed the movie, yes.
So how did you find representation at maybe 9, 8? When did you start looking?
Nine.
How'd that go?
I actually, before I was an actor, I was a dancer. And so I started dancing at a local dance studio when I was 3 years old. And I was in love with dance, and I was actually 100% sure that I was going to be a professional dancer. I knew that I was going to join a company one day, and that was my plan. And then, obviously, that changed after I moved to the Debbie Allen Dance Academy, which is down in Culver City. So, quite it was a drive for us, but my mom. She it was a drive for my mom.
My mom is giving one of those mom smiles. Yes.
I almost lost a knee in the process.
Yes, it was a commitment. But through that experience, actually, Gap, the clothing line, they were looking to do a national dance commercial with, I think, 6 little girls. Mm-hmm. And so they went to the studio and said, hey, we would love to have some of your dancers audition. And I did. I booked it. And to be honest, it was my biggest commercial that I've ever done to date. Like, this is my first one, biggest one.
The accidental commercial.
Yes, it was. I completely fell into it. And I think it's hilarious that if it weren't for that commercial, I probably wouldn't even be an actor today. And so after that onset experience, because the commercial was such a success, I mean, we even went on Extra with Mario Lopez. Like, it was a big commercial.
That's
crazy.
Doesn't typically happen.
It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
8 days on Sony.
Yeah, on Sony Studios, which is very bizarre. Yeah, you know, a lot of times with commercials, you're filming in someone's house that they rented out, and it's like a half day shoot.
Exactly.
And it was a package too. I did another commercial and a web spot. So it was very abnormal. And through that crazy experience, I signed with a commercial agent. Someone on set referred me.
Actually, the casting director.
The casting director.
She didn't have an agent. The casting director gave us some names, and then she signed with an agency.
Yeah. That's cool.
And then I started going out on commercials, to which I started having to take acting classes, so I had some kind of idea what I was doing. And then that's when I was introduced to, you know, the art of acting, and fell in love with it.
Oh, that's so great. Well, then how did you get your theatrical agent? Because not everybody knows this, but in big markets like LA and New York, those are different agents. Like, a commercial agent's never going to send you out for film and TV. You need a different agent for that. You need theatrical. So
right. How was that?
So the commercial agent, and I think we actually had a manager. We just started with the manager, and then they recommended her to the theatrical side. Mm-hmm. It was a great agency, but they split at the time, and so then we're with a new agency now. But they were fabulous. So she went
and auditioned
for the theatrical side, and then she had two agents at the time. Yeah,
yep. That's nice. That's perfect. Yeah. That's a good way to have it. In my experience, you know, having the team all work together, hand in glove, is critical. Like, that team has to be happy together and respect each other and have great communication. And so when you add to your team by having the current team members be part of that process, that's how it works out best most of the time.
Absolutely.
That's beautiful. Yay. So how important has training been for you? You mentioned you started training after you thought, oh, okay, I do want to do this more, after you'd had that commercial.
Yes, training has been super important to me. I think especially in the last couple years of my career, I've found that just having that peer observation is so critical. And I feel like that is something that is overlooked a lot. I mean, really, to be an actor, all you really have to do is observe. And I think just being in class and seeing what, you know, your other students are doing with their work, the way that they interpret the dialogue, the way that they approach the scene, is so interesting and so informative. And so it's been incredible. I mean, I work a lot with Marnie Cooper. I know you had her on the podcast.
Yeah, she loves you.
Oh, she's lovely. I love her. I mean, especially, and also these last 2 years working on the show, even though I haven't been able to make it into class as much, being on set is a class in and of itself. And just getting to talk with my castmates and the directors that we have, the writers, it's a big learning environment that you really do have to learn to navigate and take advantage of when working on set.
That's a great point. You know, there's a lot of different ways to learn. You know, there's classes, there's coaching, there's learning by doing. which I would classify as either, you know, say doing a lot of theater and being directed and having roles, like auditioning, directed roles, actually acting, or just, you know, learning on set. But you got to do some of that somehow, because it's not enough to just go, I really want this.
I mean, it would be great if it were that easy.
Exactly. Right? Because then you're competing with other people who've been studying it somehow or another.
Right.
Paying attention.
It's crazy to me that, especially in the art of acting, so many people think that you don't need training. And to those people, I always ask, okay, if you were going to pursue basketball or swimming or some kind of sport, would you just jump in and say, hey, I'm a natural? No, I mean, everything involves training. And so it's so crazy to me.
And practice and work.
Practice, work, hard work. and it takes time. And even though so many people enter this industry and they have such a raw, natural talent and such an ability to access their emotions in such a way. But it's still so important to have those human experiences, just like as an individual, completely outside of the industry, because that just goes into the work that you're doing.
You have to have something to draw on.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I agree. So Taryn.
Yes.
You've been so quiet.
It's your turn. A lot of kids say they want to be actors, especially these days. I don't know, they've had a study that something was like, in the last 10 years, the number of children who say they want to be, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the answer is famous. Mm. It's like off the charts now. Like it's more than doubled in the last 10 years. Something's going on in the culture.
Wow.
So that's interesting. But even with that aside, a lot of kids say they want to be actors. Mm-hmm. When did you know to start to take this seriously with Chandler?
Well, that's interesting because when she was little, before three, she was constantly, watch me dance, mommy, watch me dance, watch me dance. I'm like, I'm washing dishes. I need to look at this knife. No, watch me dance, mommy, watch me dance. So when she was like 2.5, I went to the dance studio because I was a dancer growing up. I thought, okay, so she really wants to dance. Well, they said, well, you have to wait till 3. So I'm like the night before, like, she'll be 3 tomorrow when you take her. And so she started dancing and she, I have 3 kids. She's the youngest. She is the one child that has never veered off into something else. She has always known from the moment she could speak that she was an entertainer. And so I remember the one time I'll out myself here.
do it for the moms out there who are listening. We have a lot of parents listening to this podcast.
Well, you have to know when to pivot, right? So she had done some minor infraction. I don't know what it was. It was some minor infraction because she rarely does anything that's major, or almost never really.
She's a good
And at the time, I said the first thing that came to mind, which was, if you do that again, I will not take you back to dance class.
Ooh.
And literally, I kid you not, literally, she must have been 4 or something. The blood drained out of her face. She could not catch her breath. And I said, okay, I'll take you to dance class. But then, you know, then I took something else from it. And that struck me so deep that this kid knows who she is and what she wants to do. And I thought, I can't get in the way of that. So I would never take that away from her. Obviously, I never said that again. And I took her to class. But yeah, she's just never veered off. And for me, I've always been chasing behind her. You know, it's like people think, oh, you know, some people think it's the parents thing. A lot of times it's not, it's the kid. And so she wants to be a dancer. Okay. Well, now at the dance studio, because Miss Allen, is very big on, you know, she knows her kids get a lot of things because of her reputation, but she wanted them to know about, auditioning and being told no and all that. And I'm like, hey, you know, she's already auditioning. We get told no all the time. I don't want her to audition for this thing that's going to go to Atlanta and for 3 months. no, she has to audition. And so I just kept saying, you know, I'm just going to let her go through the system. She probably won't get it. They're going to go to New York and audition kids. They're going to go to New Orleans and audition kids. And with every step, I'm thinking she'll be out. Some New York kid or somebody's going to kick her out. It goes around the country, comes back, and they pick her to be a part of this fabulous production. And all of a sudden, I'm chasing, because what do? I've got this 9-year-old looking at me going, I got the part. It's in Atlanta for 3 months.
Surprise.
I'm like, and you're not an only child.
Other things to juggle, thank you.
But I just, you know, you make it work. We made it work. My parents stepped in and helped, and we made it work because I knew she was focused as a laser, and I thought, okay, the story is not going to end with, I'm the reason you didn't make it.
But really, no. Yeah. You kind of, that's kind of part of our story too. You just feel like, you know, we could try and fail. That would not be surprising. But if we don't try, you just can't look back and always wonder.
Exactly. And if you try and succeed, then you got to find a way to make it work, because I never wanted to be that voice that said, glad you tried, glad you got it, but no.
Right.
You know, so I was going to flip every stone. Her dad and I flipped every stone, everything, got other people involved, built a support system, because she wanted to fly and she had proved that she could.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's do it.
Oh, that's beautiful. I mean, to me, that's just ideal. It's the kids, and I've seen enough kids at this point, you know, that are grounded and you know, smart and kind and everything you would want your child to be. They're the ones who are leading this show, and the parents are following, doing their best to hold the space,
swimming as fast as we can behind our children.
Exactly, because it's about the kid's dream. It should never be about the parent's dream. Mm. Chandler, is there someone who inspires you as a performer? Do you have, like, role models that you think of when you think about who you want to be? Like, or, like, what kind of a person or performer you want to be?
Oh, wow. Honestly, I draw inspiration from almost everything I come in contact with, truly. I mean, being on set, for one, is incredible. And, I mean, everybody that I talk to who's a part of the show is just, I mean, has inspired me as an artist in one shape or another. Films, TV, like, watching other great performances is so, it's almost like being in class. Even the books that I read, literature is so, inspiring to me. And I'm definitely one, I'm an observer. And so I draw from anything that I possibly could. So, I mean, I know that's not a specific person, but it's
true. It doesn't
need
to be, but I love that. That's a beautiful answer. And the neat thing about that is that if you make your heart open and your eyes open to that, you literally can find inspiration anywhere, and it sounds like that's how you're doing it.
Yes, very true. You just have to be, I guess, willing and almost vulnerable in that way. You have to keep your eyes open, your ears open, because a lot goes on that sometimes can just pass you by. And I've just, especially in this past year, I think I've learned to learn how to draw from any situation that I might be in. And so that's been helpful as an artist, actually.
That's beautiful. Now, you're also an accomplished dancer, and you're a black belt? What?
Yes.
Okay, so talk to me about that, and then I want to pivot to, you know, has that been, obviously dance was your path into acting.
Yes.
Which is interesting, because there's a lot of actors that this is their story. Like, a lot. Like, like Cameron Boyce and Boo Boo Stewart and quite a few. Like, they start out in dance, they get all passionate and very accomplished, and then dance opens the door to acting. But have you found that, in addition to that, like, that was the path that it ran through, like, has it been useful to you as an actor to have that dance background and that martial arts background and these, like, deep skills that you also have?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
After, I mean, unfortunately, I had to stop dancing when I really started booking roles, and just because balancing the two on top of school was mm-hmm. impossible, because there's just, you know, unfortunately not enough hours in the day.
Don't you hate that?
I know. It's the worst.
Makes me so mad.
But I was, I mean, at the time, I was dancing 30 hours a week. So I was very serious about it. And that has, having that background has been so incredibly helpful to me as an actor today for many reasons. One being that, I guess, I mean, I would say the drive that I have in, I guess, discipline.
Uh-huh.
Because, especially dancing at Debbie Allen Dance Academy, those are seasoned performers, professional performers, that they have a standard. And even if you're, you know, 9 years old, you have to meet that standard. And
same with Los Angeles Ballet.
And same with Los Angeles Ballet Academy, which is the studio that I went to after, simply because it was closer to
oh, yeah. Instead of 60 miles one way, it was 30 miles.
Oh, God.
It was a huge difference.
But that's so real.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's your life.
Mm-hmm. But, and, I mean, just, I've learned to be strong. I think it's definitely, it's something that I really learned. And so, I mean, I remember getting out of dance class, I would go to the bathroom, I'd cry for a good 15 to 20 minutes, then have like 10 minutes to pull myself together and go back to class. I mean, and that was my reality. And now, I mean, if I get out of an audition and it didn't go well, I know like it's not the end of the world. There's going to be another job that I could, another opportunity next week. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's made me so much stronger. And then also in my art too, dancing and performing on stage has taught me to really just be in the moment, which is such an important thing. That's almost like one of the, like the, almost the number one rule mm-hmm. in acting, to mm-hmm. be in the moment, be present. And I think I learned a lot in dance, especially being on stage. I remember there was a point in my dance career where I had really bad tendonitis. And, you know, I mean, injuries are entirely normal being a dancer, and so that was the worst one, because I couldn't even walk without limping. But I still had to go on stage and perform. And so I remember, like, every time I went on stage, I literally could not feel my injury, because that's how in the moment, that's how tapped into the moment I was. And so I try to, go back to that and use that in the work that I'm doing today. And so just, yeah, all in all, having that dance background was so, so beneficial to me.
Sounds like martial arts was sort of same but different.
Martial arts as well, with the discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, that was kind of just a fun thing that I did with my brothers. I have two older brothers, and they started taekwondo. And I'm also a very competitive person, and so I was thinking, oh. My mom just said very.
She mouthed it silently.
She mouthed it silently.
Now you know.
I'm outing her today. I'm very competitive. And so I thought, oh, my brothers are going to do that. I'm going to do it too. And then I actually was very passionate about it, and I wanted to go on and get my second degree black belt. But after I gave myself a black eye, my mom was like, yeah, you can't do both. You can't
nunchucks.
Film.
Oh, God.
Double nunchucks. She was learning single nunchucks, and she decided to try double nunchucks.
Very ambitious.
And she literally, not just a black eye, she cut it right there. And I said, you're done.
You're done. Because I had to film, too. So
it was like 3 days before filming.
But the beauty and makeup.
But there for a lot of you guys, you know, by when I say you guys, I mean you, these young kids who are, you know, multi-talented, multi-passionate. You know, it's not like it's just one thing that you're super good at that you could really pursue hard. There often does come that crossroads where each of those things that you love so much is so demanding that you have to make a choice.
Yeah.
And especially if one of them is giving you injuries.
Especially.
To be honest with you, I was in denial completely, entirely, that day would ever come. that's how driven I am naturally. But I was like, my mom, she sat me down. How old was I?
At 10. No, 10 or 11. No, probably 11 or 12.
Yeah.
Maybe 11 or 12.
And she's like,
the time is coming
when
you need
school.
To decide.
You're a full-time student in school. You are pursuing acting. You're a dancer. And you're a martial artist.
Yeah. You must have been.
You're going to have to drop one. And I was like, you're hilarious.
No. She just kept saying no. And I thought, okay, well, then we'll just keep going until the door shuts itself.
Yeah. And that means the day I had my black belt test. It was about a five-hour test in, right, 5 hours?
Yeah,
maybe 4 hours?
About 4 hours.
But the whole day itself.
Yeah.
I was at the studio before, like, warming up. And right after my black belt test, I had to immediately go downtown to perform on point after I had just broken a bunch of boards with my feet.
So it involves board breaking, sparring, forms.
Grappling.
With a panel of really high-ranking martial artists watching you. And you have to. And when he dismissed her after the test and she got her black belt, we literally went and she performs on point.
That's crazy.
My dance studio, they're Los Angeles Ballet Academy, they're so good to me. They put my performance at the end of the night, so I could make it.
They moved her number to the end. Oh my God. They are very good to
but
you.
But I mean, that was our reality. I mean, I was always changing in the back of the car. Always,
homework.
You know, always. Luckily, I never got car sick. I was always reading and, you know, writing in the car.
So, did you do homeschool all the way through, or?
So, I mean, I went to a normal elementary school, but in sixth grade, going into middle school, that's when I started doing. I did K-12 CAVA, and then for high school, I now go to Oak Park Independent School, which I'm about to graduate in. Like 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah. So super excited about
that's
that.
That's a good day.
Yeah. It's a good day. It'll be a good day.
Well, you know, if you ever get cast in something that requires those skills too, you will have them. And that's the thing. Like it's really good for you as a human being to have different skill sets and not only just, you know, acting, but it makes you more castable as well.
That's true. That's true. And also, I mean, I think it was a nice outlet for me, especially martial arts, having like that literal punching bag, you know, sometimes to just get out your energy. I mean, it was very helpful, and I was very passionate about everything that I did. But acting is the one that won out. Mm-hmm. So, but I couldn't be happier.
Something does win eventually. Mm-hmm. Taryn, what do you think are the biggest misconceptions about what your life and your day looks like as a Hollywood parent, as the parent of a young successful actor?
I find it actually funny how many people think that I'm just sitting around doing nothing all day. I don't even know what that looks like. Yeah, particularly while you're filming on set. Oh, you go to set with her? Why? Aren't you doing that? I'm thinking.
Aren't you at the spa?
Right? I can't even spell spa. Anymore, you know, it's like, what? It's just, it's very interesting that there's just this misconception that the child just runs off and does all this and the parents are just floating around doing nothing. And, you know, it's not that at all. Not that at all.
Yeah, you're very, very actively involved.
And you have to be. You have to be, particularly in this industry. It's not like, and I try and put it into context for people, it's not like I'm dropping her off at school on a campus where 95% of the people there are her age. Yeah. We're going to an adult environment where, you know, there may be one or two other people her age and the rest are all adults.
Yeah.
And so you have to be active. You have to be present. You have to be a part of every decision. You have to watch. You know, so, yeah, it's just very interesting to me how people really don't understand what's involved.
Yeah, the act of the advocating that is required, the advocating and support and just keeping your eyes open for your kid it's a literally full-time, completely absorbing occupation.
Yes.
I can't say job because we don't get paid for it.
No,
you get paid with love.
We get paid with love. Okay. okay, being a mom is if being a mom is a job, it's an interesting facet of being a mom.
Yes.
Or being a dad in some cases.
Absolutely. But. I think the really unfortunate thing about it is people are surprised when you advocate. Like even sometimes the people, you know, we've been really fortunate in all the sets we've been on. We've been so fortunate. But I've heard stories where, you know, the parent starts to advocate, and the people are like, whoa, what are you doing? It's like, well, you can't negotiate with her because she's 11. So therefore, you're going to need to talk to me.
Yep.
You know, so it's just a really strange space to occupy.
It's a fine line, too, because you see other parents overstep that. Well, but where is that line? And do they even know they're overstepping?
Yes.
You know, and that line is...
You know, it's tricky. Honestly, for me, I think what helped is I came out of a business background. So even I try to remove the emotion from the situation. I can't respond like, hey, that's my kid. I'm responding like, this is not a good thing for this actor.
Yeah.
You know, this actor needs this, this actor needs that. And I think that keeps it on the side of... Where it's easier for people to respond to me.
I love that. I think I hope every parent listening to this takes that to heart, because that's a huge one. If you can, it's really hard to remove the emotion when something's going on that affects your kid. I mean, the mama bear and the tiger in us just like leaps forward, but that's never helpful.
Right.
And ultimately it can hurt our kid.
Right.
It can really hurt our kid, in as much as if we become, if we get a reputation for ourselves as parents of young performers as being difficult, the kid may not get hired back. That reputation goes around. It can affect their career. And so it's like, okay, how do you walk that line where you're genuinely like looking out for your kid and their well-being and their best interests, but you're also staying on the right side of things? And I think what you just said, keeping the emotion out of it as best you can.
Right.
Sometimes it's really hard.
Right.
I mean, I can think of certain instances where I've just been shaking with, let's just say, emotion.
Right.
I mean, there's different things I might say, but let's just say emotion, because that's accurate. And you just have to, you have to keep that professional veneer.
Yeah, you do. Because ultimately, it's an adult professional working environment.
Yeah.
So you can't go charging in like it's a playground fight, you know, where you're throwing the kids apart and stop. You know, it's a professional environment, regardless of whether, what kind of setting you're in. You know, you might be on location in a lot somewhere. It's still a professional adult working environment. And so you have to remember that in all your dealings.
Yep. Yeah, I love that. That is a great distinction. What have been some of the more challenging things to navigate as a parent, as Chandler has been making her way up in the last, what, 6, 7, 8 years? Yeah. Like, so what have been some of the challenges for you as a parent?
Well, personally, I think, it's funny, someone told me once, and this was just the most random, strange statement. Chandler had something to do. And the boy, she has two older brothers, and they're all very close in age. She's 17, and they are
19 and 20.
19 and 20. And so they're very, you know, they're basically in that same little age group. And someone said, oh, well, Chandler is famous and important, so they'll just have to give up what they're doing. Oh, and I was said, and I said, no, no. Everybody is the same.
Yeah.
Everybody gets a childhood, and everyone's childhood is important.
Yeah.
So there is none of that in our house. And I was just thrown by how comfortable that person was in saying that to me. And I realize a lot of people think that. And so for me, the challenge has been making sure that never happens in the house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if I'm taken out of the situation because I have to travel with her, I make sure the boys, that their experience is not lessened. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever I have to do. If I have to bring my parents out or, you know, whatever, I make sure their experience, they get everything they need, everything. And it's not easy.
No, it's not. No, we were lucky because my kids are 7 years apart, and Claire was off to college before Dove and I even moved down here to start this process. Mm-hmm. But that's not super normal. And when you do have the more normal situation where you've got other siblings in the similar age range, like, you have to be really mindful of that.
Yes.
I still had to be mindful of it.
It has to be the forefront of every decision. It doesn't matter that someone's making a paycheck and the other kids are not. That has nothing to do with, you get one childhood, mm-hmm. and we're charged with trying to keep that as safe and nurturing as possible. And everybody's childhood is important. And Chandler has always understood that. The boys have always been super supportive of her.
Yes.
And people say, do you want your other kids to be in the business? I'm like, thank God that they are not interested in the least. I don't know how these parents with multiple children do it that are in the business.
I don't either.
Shout out to you guys.
Shout out. High props to you.
Seriously.
Thank goodness that my boys are not interested.
So, Chandler, mm-hmm. you started acting professionally at the age of, what would you say?
I guess nine. Yeah, nine.
Nine.
That was my first commercial.
Okay, yes. That's professional.
Yeah, that's professional.
Especially that one. And you're 17 now.
Yes.
So, you've been acting pretty much nonstop since then, more or less. Like, really steadily, it looks like, when I look at your IMDb. You've kind of grown up in the public eye in a lot of ways. Like that's not a super easy thing. How do you deal with the inevitable haters on social media? And I ask this question because I ask this question of everybody, every, you know, young actor who comes on the podcast, because you don't have to be an actor and you don't have to be in the public eye to have this be something that you grapple with, maybe even daily, because social media has taken such an important place, for better or for worse, in our lives, but especially in the lives of young people. And I know that a lot of, you know, so-called normal kids who don't have the public eye, you know, trained on them, struggle with this. And I also know that kids who are in the public eye, there's a sort of tendency to, I want to say objectify them. And not just kids. Anybody in the public eye becomes objectified, right? It's like they're not really real people, so they don't really have real feelings. And so I can say anything I want to about them to them on their page.
Yeah.
So you guys get it in a sort of magnified way. Everybody has it to some level. How do you deal with that? Like, what's your go-to, like, what you tell yourself?
You know, I'd be lying if I said that I had it all worked out. I think it's definitely something that I'm still trying to navigate as best as I can. But I think as hard... It's so much easier said than done, but, like, ignoring it, trying not to read it even in the first place, which is so, I mean, it's so difficult, but it's, I mean, it's true. I mean, I definitely am one to, like, advocate self-love, and I think putting yourself in a position to, I don't know, I mean, there's cracks and everything, and then they just seep in, but the negativity seeps in. But I think really just trying to find that strong sense of self, especially I found in this industry, it's easy to lose that, or even grow a false perception of yourself just because of, you know, the environments that you're working in, the way people treat you. So I try to always go back to myself, and even if that is just going back to my mom or to my support group, you know, I'm very lucky to have a strong support group of friends and family. It's very tight. I keep it very small. But those are people that I know are there for me, like 1,000%. And so if it's, I think, I mean, if anybody, whoever's dealing with that, I would say just find your support group. That's honestly the best advice that I could give, because my mom is always there for me. My friends are always there for me. And that's very helpful, you know, and it keeps you grounded and keeps you and close to your heart and who you are. Yeah.
And I just want to add one thing to that. This doesn't always happen, or rarely happens, but there was one tweet a while back that came from such a place that it was almost the way it read was, I'm really hurt about life, and so I'm hurting you.
Oh, yeah.
And so what we did, we went into that person's Twitter account, and we went through their Twitter account, and we found, like, maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 months back, that they were really trying to support a friend that, well, I think was dealing with cancer, and they were trying to raise awareness. So she tweeted it out, support for that. Mm-hmm. That, what it, I forgot what it was.
It was cancer.
It was cancer, yeah. So she, on her account, tweeted out support, mm-hmm. you know, to say, you know what? I don't think you really are hate me. I think you're hating life right now, and you just need a hand. And so you tweeted that out, and I was very proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
I thought that was really awesome. You took something that was negative, took a moment to understand it, and tried to make it better.
That's lovely. Mm-hmm. That's a great, insightful thing to do. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, I don't hang out where things are negative. Like, I don't, like, even go there for the most part. Right. But this is something that so many people struggle with. I always find it's useful to get, because you guys, people in the industry, they have their own coping strategies that you've had to develop. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing that wisdom. I really appreciate it. Yeah,
absolutely.
What have been some surprises on this adventure for both of you?
Oh, everything seems like a surprise. Everything.
Everything. I love that. Somebody said, oh, don't worry. After a while, it'll be all the same. And you'll get, every audition, every job, everything is such a surprise. I don't ever feel like it's getting old. It's never same-o, same-o. It's like, really, this? Well, that must be how it is. Oh, no, now this. So it's just very interesting. It's.
It keeps you on your toes.
One thing we are never is bored. I don't even know what that feels like.
What is this boredom you speak of?
It's another language.
I don't speak that language.
We don't speak that language here.
Yeah, no, it's everything. Everything is, it's exciting because it's new always. But I think you always have to be on your toes, always have to be observant, always have to be listening because, I mean, everything. I've never been on an audition and thought, oh, well, that's exactly how I expected it to go. Like, it's crazy. I feel like we've been to every single casting office in this city, although, like,
I'll, they're all different.
But they're all different. They're all and then different. I'll get sent to a new one, and I'm like, where are we even? Like,
casting office number 512.
Exactly. Exactly.
Nothing has been the same. And you have to be open to the lesson.
Yes.
Right? If you're not open to the lesson, it could get painful. You just have to go, okay, this is a new lesson. Let's just learn it.
You really do have to be open, open to the lesson and open to whatever information is there. I think one of the biggest things we've learned being in this industry is that you can really draw from any situation. Mm-hmm. I think we'll be at, we will go to like events and we'll think like,
how did we get here?
Okay, I was gonna try to say that. but then we'll it'll be useful in some kind of way. Yeah. It'll be
we'll
beneficial.
Meet someone that, you know, it's great
has
to
become
act.
Really important in my career.
Yes, or recommend someone that's important or, So it's been, you can, the thing is, you have to, if you have to be somewhere anywhere, anyway, why not learn from it?
I love that.
You know, I don't understand people that you know you have to go somewhere and then you have a bad attitude and you don't get anything. If I'm going to be there, I'm going to get something out of it. You know, some knowledge, something.
I was literally just having that same thought yesterday as I was driving. The version was, everyone I meet and talk to has something to teach me.
Yes.
And it's just true.
It's so true. You know the second half of that is? I tell her that you can learn something from everyone you meet, even if it's only how not to behave.
Oh, it's true. Yeah. You know? Even if it's a negative example. But, you know, to have the hubris to go anywhere and talk to anybody and be like, yeah, this is a waste of my time. I have nothing to learn here. Like, okay, how sad. But also,
It makes your own life tough.
Yeah.
How are you enjoying things if you can't look at something and find the enjoyment in it? You know, you just can't.
Yeah. There's so much more available when you are open to it and you can see it, you know, mm-hmm. and I call it, you know, deep listening, but you know, however you want to phrase that. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, and it's definitely easy to close up. I mean, Los Angeles and especially this entertainment industry can be greedy. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you could just be worn out, exhausted mentally, emotionally, physically. But it's really, I mean, if you have the courage and the strength to get right back up the next day and get out there and learn and listen, it's so helpful. And I think that's what we always try to do.
Even with interviews and things, you know, people say, oh, the interviews are all the same. You know what? It may feel the same to you, but it's new to that person. And so it deserves the respect and the attention mm-hmm. because it's their first time talking to you,
yeah.
you know, or their third time with new questions, whatever. It's a new situation. It's not what it was.
Well, and then, you know, who's on the receiving end of it, you know, in a newspaper in Germany somewhere or, you know, like wherever those interviews end up, it's like that person, it's new to them too, maybe, you know, and so that's why all of those conversations deserve your presence,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yes.
Taryn, do you have any advice for parents of kids who want this life?
So much.
Where do we start?
So much. That's why I need to write a book.
Go for
it. Speaking of that, let me just say, I'll say a couple things. One, when I realized that she was switching from dance to acting, I thought to myself, I don't want to waste time making the mistakes. So I went to our bookstore, but we're way on the outside of town. They had like two things. So I thought, okay, where's a bookstore in the center of town? Ended up at the Grove.
Yep.
Where they have a nice big section. And I probably bought 10 books on kids entering the business. Yep. On parents, like your book. Yep. Amazing. People need to buy it.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? And so, and I read them. That was, I didn't just buy them. I read them from cover to cover. Because I thought, so many, you know, kids have an acting life of about 3 to 5 years typically. And I thought, if you're going to do this, let's do it right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've proven to me that you can do it. So therefore now it's on me to make sure we do it right. And that first step, buying those books and reading them, saved us so much pain. It really did. And the second thing I would say to parents, with a child entering the industry is if your child is entering the industry, you're entering the industry.
Yep.
And I hear so many times, oh, you know, have the babysitter take them, or no. If your child is working in the industry, you're working in the industry. And if you can't do that, you know, then it's probably not right for yep. your child. Simply because they're entering into a world of adults. And even the best intentioned adults are not going to watch out for your child the way, because they're working in an adult environment. It's not going to occur to them. They could be great parents themselves, but they've got all these other things that they're dealing with. They're not going to be watching your child.
Yep, it's not their focus.
Even the best of people with the best of intentions.
Yep.
So if your child enters, you enter, and you just have to be right with that.
That is brilliant advice. Now you two have started a charity together. Yes. I love this. It's called Chandler's Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. So about 4 years ago, about 4 years, right? Mm-hmm. We had a family friend who takes in foster children, and I think they had posted something on Facebook asking for help, just like sending, you know, basic, what was it? Like,
clothing.
Yeah. I mean, things that could help out these children that they were just bringing into their home. And we thought, hey, why don't we make blankets? You know, a lot of times when families take in foster children, they don't get to bring any of their personal belongings, which can be very traumatizing for a young child. And so we thought, kind of, not only would a blanket be like a little hug, you know, but it's also, it's a security item, you know? And so we made the blankets, we sent them to the family friend. And I remember she sent back pictures of all these little children wrapped in their little blankets, just little bundles of joy. Oh my gosh. When we received the pictures, we actually teared up, like,
because you don't, seeing something that you had in your hands
that
you
made across
the country,
yeah,
wrapped around a child, making them smile, is really a powerful moment, you know.
Yes. So, and it was, I think that was the moment when I realized that making a difference in the world doesn't mean that you have to go out and, you know, feed everybody in this world and end world hunger and, you know, whatever. I mean, it could be as simple as making a child smile, you know? And so that's kind of when I decided, hey, I want to really do something official. I was like, let's, you know, make an organization. And from there, I mean, we've just been working with different charities, different organizations. We've done work with El Nido Family Centers. This was actually when I was on an Amazon show before Lethal Weapon. I went down with my castmates, and we showed an episode of our show. And we talked to a lot of the kids who wanted to become actors. And we also gave them blankets, school supplies, books, and it was just an amazing, we spent the whole day with them, you know, and it was incredible. And I think one of the biggest events that we do are our toy wrapping and, well, it was toy wrap and toy drive. This last year we were able to provide a new toy to every single student of an elementary school this holiday season.
That's so amazing.
It was incredible. And basically we just held an event actually at my old dance studio, the Los Angeles Ballet Academy, and all my friends came out to help and to wrap. They brought gifts, they wrapped gifts, and it was just a big, you know, wonderful gathering. And then actually the very next day we went down to the elementary school and I passed out every single gift to every single student of the school, and it was incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I love that. And I love what you said. It's like, I think there's a lot of pressure on us, on a lot of us, to like, okay, make a difference in the world. I know I'm very driven by that. But the thing is, it doesn't have to be grandiose.
Yes,
it really doesn't.
You don't have to, you know, start the new United Nations to have it count.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it's very daunting, too,
yeah.
Because I think there is a big misconception around charity work, especially when you are in the public eye and you do have a platform.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a lot of pressure there. And I realized I can really make a difference in a person's life. Like, in their whole life, that in itself is incredible.
Yeah.
And so, really, I've just ever, I mean, this past event, this past December was just, I mean, it gives me chills when I think about it. Just seeing all their smiles, and I was bombarded with hugs, and oh my goodness, it was incredible. It was, I mean, one of the best experiences of my entire life.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
It doesn't take, I mean, yes, there's obviously very large problems out there that need work. But when you come down to the individual, if you just make a difference where you are, you know, just right where you're standing, look around and, you know, maybe you have a neighbor that's elderly and no one ever visits.
Yep.
You know, and you see them dragging the trash cans up and down. Go do it for them. That's huge.
Yeah,
that's huge in the life of an individual. And I think if people remember that, I mean, if we all started doing that, think of what the change that could spread, you know?
Right. Right. I think a lot of people think that they get scared away from the idea, and so then they don't even do anything at all. They have good intentions, but it's, I mean, where to start?
Yeah.
But if you think, if one person did something for one other person, Like, if everybody did this on, did that.
Every
on
the, one person did something for one person.
Do you know the difference?
The difference that would make, just if you did something for one person.
Well, that whole pay it forward thing, just pay it forward it where you are at any level, whatever you can.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Anything else you guys would like to share?
I don't think so. I mean, we've covered a lot. No, this was amazing, and we really appreciate you inviting us to be here. This was wonderful. We never get a chance to just talk openly like
this. This is our first joint interview.
Joint interview.
Oh,
it's
awesome.
So well, thank you so much for the opportunity.
It's my privilege and my pleasure. Seriously, what a great pleasure to spend some time with both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, before I let you go, how can people follow you?
Oh, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Chandler L. Kinney.
Okay, and those are both verified, right?
Yes.
Beautiful.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you enjoy this podcast, subscribe. Go to BonnieJWallace.com and sign up on the podcast page to get exclusive, inspirational stories and insider info sent to your inbox every week. If you need help figuring out just how to navigate the career of a young actor, buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. And for one-on-one coaching that can save you literally thousands of dollars and months and years of wasted time, invest in a consultation session with me over Skype or in Los Angeles. Just go to BonnieJWallace.com and click on the consultation page. For not much more than the price of an hour with an acting coach, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. I work with parents who want to help their child become a happy, successful actor, and I can help you. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.